Welcome to Influential Entrepreneurs, bringing you interviews with elite business leaders and experts, sharing tips and strategies for elevating your business to the next level. Here's your host, Mike Saunders.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Influential Entrepreneurs. This is Mike Saunders, the Authority Positioning Coach. Today we have with us Terry Thompson, who's a realtor with Trinity Team Real Estate at Keller Williams Preferred. Terry, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Mike. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to talking with you as well. And I always love to hear the backstory, like what got people involved in real estate in the first place. So give us a little bit of your backstory and what caused you to think, hey, maybe I should get into real estate.
Sure. Happy to share. About 10 years ago, I started just as an admin position with a small brokerage in Denver, Colorado, and was just doing admin work and just saw the incredible sense of reward of people being able to purchase a home or people being able to sell their home, and did admin for several years and then decided, hey, I should just be a realtor. And so I finally got my license. I've been licensed for almost 4 years now and made the move over here to Trinity Team just a few months ago, and very excited about the move and just ready to pursue my goals with the Trinity Team and be a successful brokerage.
Neat. So what did you notice as some of the really neat factors that the Trinity Team brings to their clients that you might not have been able to take advantage of at your previous company?
This team is incredible. They are so supportive. They are all about education. They want to train you with the best aspects possible. I have learned more in the last few months than I have in the years, all the several years that I have been an agent. We've been coaching. I have two coaching classes as a group and one twice a month as just one-on-one, which has been very successful for me. And I guess just the camaraderie and the team spirit and people just being there when you need somebody. It's been fabulous.
And probably some of those people you're talking about are other agents where that's where the team comes in, right? And correct. And I think a lot of times people are like, are you serious? Like another agent in your office will help you out. Well, aren't they a competitor of yours? And that's the vibe that a true high performing team will always put the team and other people's needs first. Because it's really not a competitor and I'm going to help you I'm not going to help you because you're a competitor. It is, we're part of this team and let's help each other out. And to me, that's a really powerful approach that Trinity Team brings.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we have a great mix of very seasoned agents and very, very new agents. So we all just meet in the middle and we're there to help one another. If someone just needs help with showings or if somebody needs help with a contract that's new and not familiar, everybody just works together. It's fantastic.
Awesome. So do you, I know in real estate, you can work with buyers, sellers, investors, you know, first time home buyers. What is your preferred clients, or do you work with everyone, or do you have a specific area that you tend to focus with?
I have been working with just a little bit of everything. I have several investors, but that is a very wanted market at the moment, just because everybody, of course, wants to invest. But I have a ton of listings under my belt, lots of buyers. I don't really specify just one particular because I feel like I would just limit myself. So I try to just be a part of all of it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, when you can be all things to all people within real estate and have the backing of the team, that allows you to not have to feel like, well, I have to be a full-on expert in every single aspect of it because I've got my team behind me that you can draw from their experience.
Right, 100%.
So when you're working with, let's just say, buyers, are you able then to work with first-time home buyers? Because I know that the market currently, you know, is going to be different than what it was even 6 months ago. And certainly it's going to change in the next 6 months as well. But what are you seeing for first-time home buyers? What are they going to face in the market?
Right now with the market, there is a huge market shift happening right now. We have gone from very few homes in the inventory, which led to bidding wars like crazy. But now it is slowing somewhat. So there is more price. There are more options for first time home buyers. But with the prices in Colorado, it is still pretty significant amount of money to be able just to purchase a home, especially in the rural or in the like the urban areas where a lot of younger homeowners want to buy. But I suggest them getting a lender, talking through finances prior to getting taking any steps forward. Just knowing what you're getting into and knowing what you can afford is key to being able to win in this market in Colorado.
Well, and talk a little bit about that with having the right lender partner and being fully prepared, not just some, yeah, I think we can do this. So I know that being pre-qualified is one aspect, but being pre-approved gives you a little bit more solid power. So you as an agent then working with the client, you know, you've got a client that is pre-approved. So talk a little bit about the power that that brings when you're working with the offers and getting that accepted.
Sure. Well, if this person is ready, if they've done all their due diligence, done their homework, worked with the lenders, got pre-qualified, pre-approved, ready to go, when they find that house, you have to make an offer and it goes that quick. You can't think about it. You don't want to say, well, let's think over it, think about it over the weekend. That house will be under contract before you even get a chance to have a contract written. So we just, if everything is ready to go, you're ready to make that move, we pull the trigger and we write the contract and most likely get under contract. There's no waiting in this market right now. You either know what you're getting into and go forward, or you take your time and you lose out, unfortunately.
Yeah, you very well may lose out on something that it was like, oh, that was kind of not necessarily our dream house per se, but, you know, pretty darn close to our dream house, you know, and we just kind of took a little bit of a misstep. So I think that's a huge piece of advice. Let's think about that from the other side of the equation, the seller. When you're working with sellers, what is one or two ways that you advise them to make sure that their house is fully ready to then be listed for the best possible price?
Sure. With sellers, the key is getting the price dialed in. If it is overpriced due to what, I guess, so let me start over. Educating your seller on what the price point should be is key. If they think, because they see the other markets, see other houses going quickly, they think they can get a certain amount for their house and they're very house proud, but it needs to be, the market analysis has to be completely dialed in, which I do as extremely detailed market analysis prior to even putting the house on the market. I work with the seller, let them know, look, this house sold for this in your neighborhood, but it has this. It has A, B, and C, where yours has D, E, and F. So if once you get the price point dialed in, get it on the market, you have many offers. If you overprice it, you get buried in the MLS. It will sit there, and it's just worth it to really focus in on your price point with what your house is worth.
I think that is, of course, spot on, and that can become hard when you have a seller that goes, yeah, but I saw my neighbor a few months ago that got $20,000 more than what they listed it for, so I want to get the most I can get. But, you know, isn't it true that the markets tend to shift even month to month to month? So you can't really look back to that, and you need to, you know, look at those comparables and go, this house sold for, yours is exactly that. You know, yeah, there's a little tiny nuances, but what do you do when you're working with a seller to help them fully understand that, taking that educational approach? You can't just say, you're wrong, I'm right, do this. We know that. But what are some ways that you are helping them to realize that so that you guys both are on the same page?
Sure. We do, mostly what I'll do is, depending on that month, I do the very current comparative market analysis. We also look at the mortgage prices, the mortgage interest rates. Look at where the market is, the time of year. If the kids are going back to school, people aren't going to be wanting to purchase a home during the process of getting their kids enrolled in school. If it's close to holidays, if it's close to the end of the year, it's going to go slower. The spring months are key to get going, to get rolling on listing a house. Summer months, of course, are always much more traffic. But depending on the year, depending on the mortgage rates, depending on what is available, what the listings total amount is, if there's inventory, if there's not, there's so many variables. It just depends on what time of year and how aggressive your clients want to be.
Yeah. Now, what do you do when someone says, well, hey, you know, we were thinking about, you know, renovating the whatever, bathroom, kitchen, whatever. At some point when you have that renovated room, that will add value to the house, but then don't you have to take into consideration the time it takes? Then you might miss a window of, you know, being able to list it now and get some activity, and then also the cost. So how do you help your clients realize how to make that decision?
100%. If it's, like I said, towards the end of the year, it's not worth it. Unless you want to just fix it up and then hold off on listing until the spring, would not be worth the time and money if you try to list it, try to do the repairs and then list in, say, December. If you wanted to get everything ready, get everything dialed in and list in the spring of the following year, that would be fantastic. But say if you wanted to spend the money, make sure that it is in line with the value of the homes currently on the market or in that neighborhood. If you're adding too much money into your house, you're not going to get that money in return.
Yeah,
it would have to be a significant change in order to bump up the price as significantly as they would want it to be. But for now, a lot of them, the houses will sell regardless if you do work or not.
And isn't there a difference between repairs and renovation? Like renovation is, you know, the kitchen's fine, but I would love to make it way nice. So then that's the question of how much time and how much money and are you going to recoup that? But repairs, if there's work that needs to be done, that could impact negatively the first impression. So you don't want to have whatever, you know, a water spot on the ceiling where there's sheetrock hanging down. You might want to have that repaired because then that first impression could be impacted negatively, right?
Absolutely. With the repairs, it will save you time and money and going under contract and then the contract falling out of contract. If you know there's a sewer line problem, or if there's, like you said, a leak on the ceiling wall or something, a little drywall would go a long way. If you know there is a plumbing issue, rather than just try and fake it until you make it, basically, getting under contract and then falling out of contract, it really takes a toll on the placement of your MLS listing. And it also causes people to question, well, why did it go under contract and now it's not under contract? Right. So you lose your split, you lose your place in line 100%. So it's either get it done right away, take care of it, and then you're fresh on the market. You know that everything is dialed in and you're going to get a stable offer and go to close.
So what about curb appeal? You know, you hear that a whole lot, and you know, that in my mind, that kind of comes under the same idea of how much would it cost you and how much time would it take you to enhance curb appeal? But maybe there's some things that could be done to spruce up curb appeal without taking a lot of money or a lot of time. What are your thoughts on that?
Sure, absolutely. With the curb appeal, you know, just planting a couple of flowers, doing pots, so it doesn't take too much time. And you could, you know, just improve the front of the house is tenfold. You don't want to have a bunch of weeds out there. Cut the yard, you know, do a fresh coat of paint on the shutters, if that's the case. Paint the front door. There's minor things can really improve the sale of your house.
Yeah. And talk a little bit about how if you know, from a seller, we're talking about the sellers at this point, should they be prepared for, you know, flexibility? You know, has the market shifted enough that now maybe they should be considering, you know, paying for closing costs, or is the market still strong in that respect for the sellers?
The buyers should definitely be prepared to pay for part of the, or I'm sorry, for the sellers, yes, the sellers do need to take into consideration the market has shifted, and there will need to be equal shared amounts that are paid out at closing. Before it was just the seller's market, and they could get away with basically paying nothing at closing. The buyers have a little bit more leverage now because there is more inventory. They are not stuck with making these astronomical offers with thousands over asking price, paying closing costs, doing whatever it took to win the deal. The market has definitely shifted away from that.
Yeah. So, I mean, we could say, well, today's date is and at this time, and what are you seeing in the Colorado market? But we don't need to timestamp it, because we do know that all the way throughout the year and in different years, the market will shift. So what are you seeing currently that the market is doing that, you know, like, for, has it cooled off so much that now you know, it's dramatically different? Or are you seeing something starting to hint at moving that now buyers and sellers should be prepared for?
As far as what I can see, there is definitely a lot more inventory, which is helping the buyers aspect. As far as the pricing goes, I do see there's been several homes that have been reduced, as I was referring to with the market analysis. They're still trying to get those offers that were ridiculously overpriced, and now they're having to reduce the pricing. I feel that towards the end of this year, it's definitely going to shift to almost all buyers market, just due to the fact of increased mortgage interest, mortgage rates, inventory. I think buyers are going to have a lot of potential these coming months.
Yeah. Well, that it's always neat to see how shifts happen, because yes, when it's dramatically one side or the other, you know, then it just really makes the markets imbalanced in reality. But I think it's really neat just to see how things, you know, sway and bob and weave. And, you know, if you got relocated and need to move to another part of the country and you need to sell now, you don't have the luxury of waiting till spring or fall or summer. So you just got to do what you got to do and maximize the moment of what you're in right now. And I think that's really, really huge. So talk a little bit about how some of the way that you work with your clients on a personal level, professional level, you know, some of the service levels that you provide your clients. What can they expect when they are working with you, Terry?
Sure. I believe in upfront and honest from the get-go, letting them know, you know, how the market is, what to prepare for, what they can do to prepare themselves for. I feel that there should be somewhat of a connection ahead of time. You know, if you're the right client and versus agent. If there is butting heads from the very beginning, I don't want to be the person that is just going to take over and try to do what you don't want to do. I think a lot of communication is necessary. I really feel that it's instantaneous when you know it's a good fit.
Yeah.
And educating your client and then them expressing to me what they're looking for, what they want out of my services, and just communication all the way.
100%. I mean, unfortunately, that is a lost art. And when you can communicate well, then it makes you stand head and shoulders above the rest. So I love that. Well, Terry, what is the best way that someone can reach out and connect with you?
Phone always is number one to me, because who doesn't have our phone with us at this date and age? Cell phone number. Do you want me to go ahead and give that information out?
Sure, that'd be awesome.
Okay, sure. Cell phone number is 303-803-4889. And my email address is Terry, T-E-R-R-I, at TrinityTeamRE.com.
Excellent. And I will make sure also to have your website linked in the show notes. So okay. Thank you so much for coming on. It was a real pleasure talking with you and learning how you serve your clients.
Okay, that sounds great, Mike. And I really appreciate your time as well.
You've been listening to Influential Entrepreneurs with Mike Saunders. To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show or listen to past episodes, visit www.influentialentrepreneursradio.com.